everybody out there in podcast land. Welcome to a very special episode of eBay The Right Way. This is episode number 159, and we are celebrating the third anniversary of this podcast with a montage of contributions from several different resellers. First, a little backstory about this podcast. I started it back in March 2021 and had no idea where it would go. I had observed that podcasting had become very popular and, well, I was not doing a podcast, so it was time to jump in. And I really just threw myself to the wolves and started recording stuff to see what would happen. And you can really tell how the show evolved. The first few episodes, I sound pretty flat and monotone, and topics were all over the place. Then I decided to start having guests on the show, and that's where things really took off. So the show evolved to what it is today, only having guests. In fact, 136 episodes have guests. Some are repeat offenders. There are 159 episodes, about an hour long each, which translates to about 6.5 straight days of listening if someone listened without stopping. I want to say that I appreciate my audience so much. There are many, many things you could be listening to, but you choose to come back week after week to listen to this podcast. And eBay The Right Way is in the top 5% of business podcasts on Spotify. That is a huge accomplishment and says something about the content and the guests. I love that everyone comes from different walks of life, has a different eBay journey, different life experiences, and contributes something valuable that others can learn from. I wish podcasts had a commenting feature, but unfortunately, they don't at this time. I am so proud of this podcast and how it reaches new people all the time and provides education to help sellers build a home business they love and make more money. So here we go with messages and stories from the reselling community. First up is Jane Brown in New Jersey, who was on episode 107 in April of 2023.
Hi, it's Jane Brown. Abundance is all around us. As most of you know, I mainly source from the garbage, whether it being a retail dumpster, bulk garbage night from one of the local towns, or just a pile I see driving by. In just the month of February alone, I made over $200 in my eBay store. I've sold items from Christmas plates for $30 shipping to Great Britain's. Don't be afraid to do international shipping. I've also shipped to Canada, which were just some plush toys. Toys are always a great garbage find. I also sold a hat, and I sold a pillow that I pulled from the Marshalls dumpster for over $100. Garbage, $100, cha-ching. Don't be afraid to use the abundance that's around us. Don't be afraid to stop when you see something on the curbside. You never know what treasure awaits. Of course, it's fun to still go thrifting and go to estate sales, but garbage is my favorite.
Jane, I love your outlook. You are definitely a master picker. Keep up the great work. You are an inspiration. Next is Kari in Washington State, who was on episode number 140. In November of 2023.
Hi, Suzanne. This is Kari in the Pacific Northwest, and I was on your podcast a few months back. Anyway, congratulations on the anniversary of your podcast. I love your podcast. Anyway, I wanted to share with you a funny story about one of the craziest things I ever sold on eBay. I think this is pre-pandemic, so it was either 2018. I think it was back in 2018. I sold a Tesla Model 3, and it was actually my husband's idea to sell the car. So we were early on the wait list, and we got the car, and my husband got on the wait list with the idea that we would get the car and sell it right away. And I think at the time there was a 14-month wait list. So he wanted to flip it so that we could get a tax credit, and I believe the tax credit would be $7,500. So he didn't actually want to he did not want to make that much money on the car. He just wanted the tax credit. Anyway, we listed the car. I think it was $54,000. We listed the car for $55,000. So we would make $1,000 on that. And we did a 1 week auction on the car with a buy it now price. I think at the time it had to be a certain percentage higher. So the buy it now was $72,800. And the listing that I wrote, I remember when I wrote the listing, it was kind of a cheesy listing where I said, be one of the first owners of the new Tesla Model 3, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, and when we got the car, I had a flu and my husband's like, we need to take it and take pictures of it right away. So we got it up right away. And anyway, in overnight, we had so many watchers. And then when we went to bed that night, it sold overnight. And on our listing, we wrote local pickup preferred. And, anyway, the person who bought it actually lived in Kazakhstan. And so I posted about this on a reseller's forum and everyone encouraged me to cancel the transaction. But anyway, the buyer was very anxious to get the car and I was communicating with them and they said that they knew someone, they had a cousin or something that lived local who could come and get the car. We were very anxious about this because it just seemed like it had scam written all over it. But they wanted our bank wire information and my husband called the bank and actually spoke to the manager and they said they were going to do a swift wire transfer. So my husband spoke to the manager at the bank who said there's no way that they could hack it like in reverse. So we gave them the numbers and overnight that night we had the $72,800 and sorry, that's my dog growling in the back. Anyway, the transaction went through and the person came to pick it up and then they had it put on, we thought that they were going to put it on a boat to go to Kazakhstan and we were very nervous about the car's battery, having battery issues, but they flew it by air to Germany and I think they then either flew it from Germany to Kazakhstan or drove it, which was insane. And we actually tried to Google a little bit about the buyer and we couldn't really find out much, but that was one of the craziest things that I ever sold on eBay. And after I sold it, I had nightmares about people coming and holding a gun to our head. And it was the most nerve-wracking transaction I've ever had. But you know, it was interesting because people warned me that it was a scam and it actually wasn't a scam. We sold it and we had even called Tesla and Tesla told us not to do it because they said it wouldn't be covered under their network. But we did it anyway and it went really well. So anyway, that's a really positive story about something crazy I sold on eBay. All right. Thanks a lot and great job on the podcast and congratulations. Bye-bye.
Great story that ended well. Thank you so much, Kari. Okay, next up is Kathy Combs, who is a frequent contributor on the Facebook group.
Hey, Suzanne. Congratulations on your third year podcast anniversary. We appreciate all that you do, and we all learn so much. I have a funny eBay story. My friend Alicia and I were at the mall with our 5 kids, so 2 girls, age 10. Her twin boy's about 5 and my daughter that's also 5. We were having lunch and I noticed that the PacSun across the way from the food court was closing. We had talked about buying mannequins and I said, well, let's go over there and see if they might want to sell us some. She was a little apprehensive, but I'm like, let's just go for it. And we went in and they sold us a man and a woman mannequin for $10 each, which was an absolutely wonderful return. We got so much use out of those. The kicker was that these kids were so embarrassed carrying arms and stands. Well, Alicia and I were each holding a torso. And of course, we had to walk through halfway through the mall to get to our cars. And you should have seen the looks Our kids were trying to pretend they didn't know us. I guess revenge is sweet at that age, right? Happy anniversary.
Thank you, Kathy. Talk about being in the right place at the right time. And the cherry on top is there's nothing better than embarrassing your kids in public. I think eBay sellers are cut from the same cloth. We know no shame. Okay, now we will hear from Marlene in Oklahoma, who was on episode 104 in March of 2023. I affectionately call her the horse lady.
Hello, Suzanne. It's Marlene at the Ward Ranch in southern Oklahoma. I want to first congratulate you on 3 years of amazing podcast. We appreciate your dedication to the eBay community and all you do in staying organized and focused on getting news to us and interesting storylines in your podcast. Congratulations on a job well done. I was on your podcast last year in 2023 in March and had a fun time telling you all about how I run my eBay store, and you might recall that my husband and I will be married 50 years next year, and we retired to our ranch here in southern Oklahoma back in the early 2000s. We left Atlanta, and when we left Atlanta, we brought with us many, many years of treasures. I am the person that takes a lot of the family items and keeps them for whatever reason. So I brought my stuff, my husband's stuff, and a lot of his family and my family stuff with us. So each day I open up a trunk when I'm ready to work on eBay and never know exactly what I might uncover. And I ran out of time during our podcast last year to share with you a pretty neat story. And that is my husband and I met in the panhandle of Florida, and we were teenage sweethearts, and he was one of the very first original surfers on the East Coast, and he surfed at Navarre Beach, and that is a beach that is east of Pensacola Beach that a lot of people know. So he was one of the original surfers back in the 60s, and when I opened a trunk in 2022, I believe it was in the June time frame, I found his Hang 10 surfing trunks, vintage for sure. And they have the hand embroidery little feet on the leg, and they have a drawstring waist, and they're made out of material that's rather water resistant. It's kind of nylon-y feeling. Anyways, I thought, well, I might just list these. So he gave me permission to do so. They have traveled with us through many moves as we've progressed through our life together, so I knew it wasn't something that I could sell without talking to him about it first. So I put them for sale, and within 2 weeks of listing them, I had sold them for full asking price plus shipping. I sold them for $60. To a surfer in California. So I just thought that was the neatest thing that time goes on and people would like to have things that come from classic lines like the Hang 10 line because it is so different today than it was back then. So I just wanted to share that story with you. And again, we appreciate you, and I appreciate you, and I wish you well, and thank you for all you have done to help with my eBay store. Thanks, Suzanne. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
Next up is Eileen Cole, the book lady, who has been on the podcast a few times, episode 46 in February of 2022, episode 102 in March of 2023, and episode 149 in January of 2024. If you want to know more about selling books, Eileen is your gal.
This is Eileen Cole, but Suzanne calls me the book lady. I've been selling part-time on eBay for 5 years, and 50% of my business is books. The other 50% is mostly vintage goods, vintage Christmas, craft supplies, ephemera, and household items. I consider my business a hobby business, and I'll continue doing it as long as it's fun and brings in money. One of the aspects of the business I love the most is the rescue aspect. Keeping books alive, keeping things out of the landfill, and reuniting people with cherished memories. My advice to newer sellers is to sell what you enjoy, assuming you can find it and it's profitable. If you sell things only based on the money, it's going to become a chore. As time goes on, don't be afraid to try new things and change up how you do business. But remember, it's your business and it's not going to look the same as anyone else's. There are as many ways to sell on eBay as there are sellers, and that's what makes it a great opportunity for so many people.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
Thank you again, Eileen, for always sharing your great advice and book selling tips. I know I always learn something new when you are on the podcast. Okay, now we will hear from Summer in South Dakota, who was on episode 67 back in June of 2022. She has an amazing find and sale that she credits to hearing about on this podcast.
When I was thrifting a couple weeks ago, I spotted two vintage old-style lager cone-top beer cans sitting on the shelf. That sparked a memory of one of Suzanne's podcasts where she interviewed a woman who was selling off, I believe it was her father's, vintage can collection. I immediately grabbed them and looked them up to see whether I had gotten lucky and found some valuable cans. To my surprise, these ones had great comps and one had sold for close to $400 recently. They were $3 each, so I put them in my cart. I'm not even remotely an expert in the area of vintage cans, so wasn't confident judging their condition or value. I just saw that they didn't have any major rust or dents and figured I'd try selling something new. I started an auction at $99 for one of the cans when I got home, and within an hour I had received bids, and by the end of the day there were 17 watchers. The watch count progressively increased throughout the week, and eventually the bid stalled around $300, and I was thrilled. By the time the auction ended on Thursday night, it had reached $536, and I was a very happy eBayer. Thank you, Suzanne, for providing us sellers this incredibly valuable resource. Without that podcast, I likely wouldn't have given two old cans another glance. I am so thankful for you and the eBay community that you've built. Everyone is so willing to share knowledge and experiences with one another, and that is so rare. I hope the second can does half as well as the first one did.
That is such a great story. Thanks so much for sharing, Summer. Congrats on that sale. eBay is just full of surprises. Moving on to Janine Joyce, who was on episode 64 in June of 2022. Janine wears many hats, including eBay seller, grandma, yoga instructor, and assistance puppy trainer. I don't know how she gets it all done.
Hey, Suzanne and fellow eBayers. It's Janine Joyce. I'm really looking forward to this podcast, and I'm happy to be a part of it. And my contribution today is really just appreciation and encouragement if anyone needs it. First, thank you, Suzanne, for this group, for starting this group. I learned so much from the Facebook posts, your videos, your YouTube, your books, podcasts, everything. So I appreciate that. And I appreciate the positive vibe. You know, there's other groups out there that just have brutal comments, and I don't want any part of that. I love that we have positive content only, and that we cheer each other on. That's what it's all about. So thank you for that. And thank you for everybody that post your wins and your losses and your questions and your answers, because I really do learn a lot from everyone here. So I appreciate that. And also I just wanted to say, if anyone's discouraged, just hang in there. Remember, you know, things change. Everything is a cycle. And I'll just point out, I've been selling kind of in between part-time and full-time since 2015, I think, and even for years before that, just sort of part-time. And I'm really grateful and lucky that my sales have been pretty consistent from the beginning, or at least once I really got going. But I got to say, December of last year and January and February of this year have been the worst months I've ever had, and then certainly the worst consecutive 3 months. But I realized that, you know, I think I figured out you really get back what you put in. And I know in December I was really busy with holidays and family and all the things. And then I thought January wasn't much better. And then February was terrible. And so I really took a look at my attitude. And I know I was complaining a lot about the increased prices at Goodwill and other thrift stores, and you know, people I'd see talking about the algorithm and how they're not selling. And it's really easy to get into a bit of a funk when you're in a slump, and that's where I was. And so I really started focusing on the more positive aspects of this life, because there really are. If you get out of the trees, you can see the forest, right? You know, who else, what other employer lets you treasure hunt and then just alchemize your treasure into money? And you can list whenever you want, you can shop wherever you can, and basically you have your own hours, and it's really a good gig. So if anyone else is out there struggling like I was, sorry, I'm in my car. I don't have a great signal at my house, so I was worried this wouldn't send. So I just wanted to offer some encouragement to anybody who's in a slump. Know that it's a cycle. Know that you can look at it in a different way, and maybe it'll change. At least that's my hope for you. Thank you guys so much, and I can't wait to hear it.
I loved your message, Janine. Such a positive attitude. And that is really half the battle with anything, having the right mindset. As Walt Disney said, if you can dream it, you can do it. Thanks again for contributing, Janine. Now we will hear from Allie in Illinois, who was on episode 126 in August of 2023.
Hi, my name is Allie House. I am from Orland Park, Illinois, and I have been selling on eBay for 1 year. Suzanne asked me to share a little bit about my experience, and that's what we're going to do today. I've learned so much from watching Suzanne's videos, listening to her podcast, using the premium library as a resource, as well as her books and the Facebook group. And I'm just going to talk about some of the things that I have found and sold that all kind of stemmed from her educational material. Some of the things that I may have never have thought to look for would be items like plush. I've picked up vintage plush and baby lovies, and those things are usually around $1, maybe $2. I've found a scroungy dog plush for $1, sold for $42. I found a baby Ugg Lovey for 75 cents, and that sold for $22. Other categories that have been really fun for me to keep an eye out for include bedding. I have found the granny square quilts, which I know Suzanne talks about, and I think I paid about $4 for one of those and sold it for $22. Even the vintage blankets that are kind of like a fleecy felt and have a satin trim, I've sold a couple of those, paid $3 to $4 a piece, and have sold those for $40 to $50 each. A couple of other standouts are Franklin Covey items. I always keep an eye out for those. I've had lots of luck with that. Every time I pick up a Franklin Covey notebook or binder cover, usually no more than $2 to $4, and have sold them for up to $50, depending on their style and the material they're made and the size. Needlepoint items, something she's talked many times about looking out for. I've picked up a handful of those from finished pieces, like a fisherman needlepoint, to dimension stockings that were not complete at all. A stocking I'd pick up from an estate sale for around $4, and it brought $46. And then the needlepoint for the fisherman was a Goodwill pickup for $3, and it also brought about $40. Other categories would be to look out for, like, brand name items such as Ray Dunn. Picked up a rarer Ray Dunn Santa canister for $5 at Saver's thrift store, sold for $35. The Peruvian Connection, I've picked up a couple pieces from that design label. I paid $6 for a dress, sold for $75. I've also found a sweater. I paid $2.50 and sold it for $95. A great one to look out for. I know the older Lisa Frank items have been a topic of conversation as well. I picked up a little pencil case, 50 cents, at an estate sale and sold it for $25. Not a bad return on investment. In addition to those items, Pottery Barn items, I know, have done well for me. I've had at least one pair of curtains from Pottery Barn Kids. Picked it up for around $4 and sold it for $42. Mackenzie Child is another great designer to look out for her items. I've sold a rug for over $100, snow globe for $40, a tissue box cover for around $50, and all these items picked up for around, you know, $5. I think the rug was maybe $14. A couple items that maybe aren't on Suzanne's radar, or maybe they are and I just found out about them in a roundabout way, but that would be Nora Fleming bakeware. Her items are usually white and they have a little hole in a handle to put a little charm, and I've sold a couple of those recently. One larger piece I paid $13 for, and it sold for over $100. Another fun bakeware brand is Emile Henry, and I picked up a pizza stone of theirs for $4 and sold it for $40. Both of these designers are available on Amazon, but their retired pieces still go for a good amount. Those are just a handful of things that I've sold in my first year of eBaying. I've only been at it part-time. I work full-time outside the home and have three wonderful boys. And in this part-time adventure, my first year, I've made around $5,000 of extra net profit. I couldn't be happier with my experience. I've really loved learning about everything, and Suzanne has just been such a wonderful, wonderful help. Congrats on your podcast, Suzanne. Keep up all the wonderful things you do.
Wow. Allie is the perfect example of what can be accomplished on eBay, even for beginners. I am so flattered to have been a helpful part of your journey, Allie. But remember, you're the one doing all the work. Action is the most important part of any accomplishment. So I commend you on that. And now that I live in the great state of Illinois, about 3 hours away from you, I hope we can meet in person one day. Speaking of Illinois residents, our superhero of reselling, George Kelly in Chicago, is up next.
Hi, this is George Kelly from Chicago, and I just want to give you a little idea of where I'm coming from, what I'm looking for in the reselling world. I like to get into estate sales like that are run by the family. Let's say mom died, or dad died, or the uncle died, or the brother died, or someone died, and the rest of the family gets stuck trying to clean out the house, and they just hate the whole idea of it, and they just want to get rid of the stuff, and they don't really know what to do, and so they decide to somehow try to sell it themselves. And one little trick that I've been doing that I'd like to share is that I look on, for instance, Craigslist, and I look for estate sales and ones that look like they're run by the family. And there's a little, you could click on a link on their ad, and you could send them a message. You could send them an email. And sometimes if they put their phone number, you can call them, or you can send them a text. So what I've been doing is clicking on it and sending them a text. For instance, there was one not too long ago where it just said it was a estate sale, a house full of things that they wanted to sell, but there was no date or no time or when they're going to have the sale. So I sent a text and I said, you know, I noticed your ad on Craigslist and I'd like to come over and see what you have for sale. And the person wrote me back and said, what are you looking for? So I texted a picture of my business card, and on my card it has a whole list of things that I'm looking for, and it's got my name and my phone number. And then they texted back and said, well, here's the address, come on over. So I went over there, and I didn't really find a lot of stuff, but I got in the house, and the woman said that I was the first person that responded to the ad. So, you know, unfortunately, there wasn't a lot of good stuff for me, but there was, I did buy a few things, and I got in the house. And I had another sale where I saw, it was a estate sale that started Friday and Saturday. And on Thursday morning, I saw the ad, and at the bottom of the ad, it said, if you're interested in something ahead of time, you know, let us know. So, again, I texted the guy, and I said, you know, I saw your ad. I'd like to come over today. And he texted back, and he said, yeah, come on over. Here's my address. So I went over there, and I spent over $400. And, again, I was the first one that was in there. And I did buy, and also another thing, I bought a lot of clothing at the sale. And there was a lot of golf shirts, Greg Norman golf shirts that were brand new in the package. There was like 40 of those. And there's a lot of other women's clothes. And I have a guy I know that owns a resale shop down in the city. He sells vintage clothing. And I've been selling the clothing that I find directly to him, and he's been telling me exactly what kind of clothes that he's looking for that he could sell at his shop. And most of it is petite women's clothes, really stylish clothes, kind of sexy clothes. And I've been finding it at estate sales on a regular basis, because I went to another sale last weekend and there was a lot of clothing there. And I was there the second day of the estate sale. It was a private sale. And I said to the woman, I'm surprised this such nice clothes didn't sell the day before. And she said, well, it's all petite sizes, and most women that come can't fit in any of it. Well, that's exactly what my friend is looking for. He's looking for, because his clientele is down in the city in Chicago, and a lot of the women are, you know, they're very young, they're very small. They like go out clubbing on the weekends. And I told that to the woman, and she said, well, that was me 25 years ago. That's what I was, that's what she was doing. So I ended up buying like 65 pieces of clothing, and I paid $3 a piece. And then I sold it all to him for $400. And he came over the next day and bought it all. And I've been having a lot of luck finding clothing at estate sales. I'm very surprised that the estate sales, there's a lot of clothing there. So if anyone's looking for clothing, I would suggest going to estate sales and even conduct sales. And I don't go there early, and I find stuff later in the day, and I also find stuff the next day. And it's definitely a place to go. So anyways, that's my little bit of advice. You know, if you're looking for a lot of stuff, try to get early in those estate sales, because a lot of these people, they just want to get that stuff out of there. They don't want to deal with it. And they're looking for someone like me to buy a whole bunch of it at once. So, well, good luck out there, and keep following Suzanne's group and our Facebook page, because I learn a lot of stuff there every day. So keep up the good work.
Thank you, George. I forgot to mention that George was on episode number 42 in January of 2022. And the estate sale episode in August of 2023, which was number 127. And by the way, I'm giving you the dates and episode numbers in case you want to go back and listen to these folks again, or maybe you never listened to the original episode, because I know new listeners find this podcast every day. So if you want to hear from those folks, you can go back and find the episodes easily. Anyway, back to George. You are always willing to share information and help others, and we are so fortunate to have you in our group as our mentor. I have a lot of respect for George because of the knowledge he brings to the group, and he's just always willing to help people. So thank you for your contributions, George. We really appreciate you. Now we will hear from Ginger in Texas, who was on episode 35 back in 2021 and was also part of the estate sale episode in August of 2023.
I'm Ginger, and I started my eBay business a couple of years before I retired, which is probably now about 7 years ago, to supplement my Social Security. At first, I picked up just about anything I could find to make a few dollars on, and I've kind of changed now, and I look for more high-value items and try, not that it always happens, but I try to find things that I can profit about $30 or more on. In the last 3 or 4 years, I've had to take care of my parents more, so I haven't been able to do quite as much with eBay as I did originally. But I still love doing it, and I am addicted to the cha-ching for sure. eBay fits me really well because I can be flexible, and with my parents, well, my mom now, my dad's passed away, but my mom, I need a flexible job, and if we travel, I can just click on time away, and I can even still sell while I'm gone and just ship it out when I get home, which is great. I love to thrift shop. I love garage sales. I love estate sales. That's nearly everything I have is pre-owned, so it fits me really well, and It's fun. It's like a treasure hunt, which is a lot of fun. Some of my coolest treasures are the set of three Louis Vuittons that I found actually at a garage sale as I was on my way home that I didn't even see in a paper or anything. I just saw the sign on the way home, and I bought a bunch of really good things from them, and the son walked out with a Louis Vuitton bum bag and had all their garage sale money in it. And I just said, "You don't want to sell that, do you?" And they were like, "Yeah, we'll sell it. How about $200? And I thought, yeah. So I bought three pieces of Louis Vuitton for $200. And I think I made about $4,000 selling the three pieces, which was fabulous. I also found a wooden sculpture of a Forcola, which is some part of a Venetian boat anyway. And I picked it up for $2 or $3 at the thrift store just because it looked weird. And sure enough, I sold it on auction for $400. And yeah, I didn't even know what it was. And I started researching it, and then I noticed a signature on it, and there we go. And next thing I know, I have a really valuable item, and those are the things I love. The funniest one, I guess, I ever found was at the thrift store, and it was $10. It was some natural gas thingy. I don't know what it was. I call it that because I have no idea what you actually do with it. But I looked it up and saw that there were maybe a couple on eBay for $2,500 each. So I thought, well, it's worth a try. And I didn't know how to test it, so I just priced it at like $1,200. And got an offer of $9 or $9.50 and sold it. So that was fabulous. And the funniest part was my husband just thought I was a nutcase for even bringing it home because he said nobody would ever want it. And sure enough, they did. And not only that, I actually got somebody writing me on eBay and asked if I had another one available. So, which I wish I did because it was certainly a high profit item. I would say over the years, depending on how much time and effort I put into it, I've made as much as $3,000 a month profit and as little as $500 to $600. That was more when I first started. And I would say right now, I probably average about $1,200 a month, which is not a whole lot, but it's not bad for the amount of time that I'm able to put into it. And it gives me some travel money and, just some, if I want to buy something that's not really in our budget, it's just some fun money. And I've gone to Paris and to Rome on my eBay money. And so that's been a real blessing. Before I retired, I paid off my car with eBay money. And then I started really working hard and paid off our house almost with eBay money and with some extra. And so that's been a lot of fun. I volunteer at our local thrift store, and we clean up and redo, price and everything our Christmas stuff. And we call it our Thrifty Christmas Store. And we make a lot of money. In 1 month, we make $40,000 to $50,000. I think we made $54,000 this last year in 1 month on our Christmas sale, which goes to all the different community service organizations. So that's been a real blessing. And my job, of course, is to see what things are worth because I know how to look it up. So that's been a lot of fun. I don't really plan on retiring anytime in the near future because I just enjoy it so much, even though I have scaled back a little just because of my situation in life right now. But I appreciate all that Suzanne's done in teaching me how to be a good eBay seller. And of course I could learn even more, but it is a blessing. It's been a lot of fun, and I do really, really, really love it. So thanks for the opportunity to share my story.
Thank you, Ginger. Keep on keeping on. Now we will hear from Zach, the garbage man philosopher. He was on episode 71 in July of 2022, and came back for another episode in March of 2023, episode number 106.
Hey, Suzanne. Congratulations on 3 years as a podcaster. That is very exciting. This is Zach McDoor, the Garbage Man Philosopher. Thank you so much for having me on your show, not once, but twice. God knows what I said during those podcasts, but it was a lot of fun. Anyway, you gave me 5 minutes, so I thought I'd do a little mini Zach episode for you. A little philosophy, a few sales, a couple cool things I've found recently. So here in Maine, we have a lot of old lighthouses and a lot of old life-saving stations where they would take these guys and send them out in tiny rowboats to try to rescue people when there was a hurricane. And it must have seemed like a suicide mission. So they had a saying, you don't have to come back, but you have to go out. So in terms of eBay, I've been thinking of it like, you know, you don't have to sell anything, but you have to list. That's it. We're like farmers. The farmer can't actually grow a plant. All he can do is plant seeds in the ground, hoe the weeds, and then harvest when it grows. That's all he can do. The growing part is up to nature. And the selling part for us is up to, you know, cast your fate to the wind, I guess. All we can do is list and then ship it out. So my philosophy right now is find cool stuff and list 10 items a week. That's it. I don't have to sell anything. I just have to list 10 items a week. So there's your philosophy minute from the garbage man. All right, sales. I went into the little building at the dump where people put stuff they don't want anymore, and I saw this big stack of 4 huge CD and DVD player things. They hold like 400 discs apiece. I took them home. There was a CD player and a DVD player that didn't work, so I threw those away. But there was a DVD player that I listed and sold for $178. And there was a 400 disc Blu-ray player that sold for $540. So over 700 bucks for the pair. That was awesome. There was a cat picture. A guy pulled in where I was working at the transfer station. He threw some stuff in the dumpster, including some really old furniture. But I saw some frames and I pulled out this picture of a cat. And when I had time to look it up, I discovered it was an old Japanese woodblock print from about 1920. And from what the comps I saw online, I thought it might sell for like $250. I was excited. So I put it on eBay. There was a bidding war at the end, and it sold to a guy in Japan for $960. So to this day, I think that's still the best individual item I found in the trash. I found a box of ephemera. It was all from Michigan, and this drives me nuts. I'm in Maine, and I collect local stuff. And every time I find a box of old stuff, it's always from New York or Michigan or Florida or someplace. I don't know why, but this stuff was all from Michigan. This was during the time that Michigan was about to go win the national championship game in football. And in this stuff was some old Michigan University things, including 2 football programs, one from 1921, one from 1916, and those sold for $500. And there was some other stuff in the box I sold for about $250. So that was pretty awesome. Last weekend, I had some old die-cut cardboard signs that were from stores in the 1920s. Old Westinghouse ones, a cigar one, lots of great stuff. And this stuff sold for $632. As far as cool stuff I found lately, just last night I found a framed photo signed by Toni Frizzell. This was a famous Vogue photographer. She was the first woman ever to take a picture of a woman in a bikini. And she was John F. Kennedy's wedding photographer too. So this could be worth a lot of money. We'll find out. Last month I drove up to Bangor and dropped $1,200 on 2 complete Next Station computers. This is the computer company that Steve Jobs created after he was fired from Apple. And in 10 years, they only sold 50,000 computers. They're rare as hen's teeth. So if I ever get up the nerve to ship them out, I think I'll do well with those. And the weirdest thing I found lately was about 250 pairs of plaster teeth that a dentist threw away from his patients. Looks like they're worth a little bit of money if I want to go through the process of wrapping them all up. So anyway, very strange. So anyway, my 5 minutes is up. Suzanne, I don't know how you find time for eBay with all the podcasting and book writing and lessons and all the other things you do, but congratulations on everything. Hope it keeps going for you.
Well, thank you, Zach. Always a fun story time with you. Thank you for your contribution, and I would love to do a ride-along and watch you work all that trash. Okay, next up is Janessa, who was just on the podcast on March 20th of this year, episode number 157, but I wanted to include her best ever eBay story in case you missed it on the podcast.
Speaking of, I just looked at my list and I can't believe I forgot to tell you the most important story ever about. So back to vintage before I left Wyoming, Britney Spears at the time was, well, all the pop princesses were wearing vintage cowboy boots.
Uh-huh.
But Britney Spears at the time, and you can go find these pictures still today, she was religiously wearing this pair of vintage Miss Capizio 1970s bone butterfly inlay cowgirl boots.
Wow, what a keyword title you got going on there.
Well, you'll understand why that's ingrained on my brain. And at the time, I remember I carried my daughter around on my hip. She was like 8 months old. It was hot. It was summer. But I was like, I live in Wyoming. There are vintage cowgirl boots everywhere. So I would just go to every thrift store, every pawn shop. And I did. I found tons of vintage cowgirl boots. I did great. I probably sold most of them for $50 to, I don't know, $80 a pair. But I was always looking for that pair. And I went to a pawn shop in Cody, Wyoming. And it was this old, you know, gross, grumpy cowboy that had this dirty pawn shop. And I asked him a question and he said, well, I've got a storage shed out back. And I said, well, can I go look? So I go, he opens up. It's like, it hasn't been opened. I'm not kidding. He parts the door and the light shines up on this shelf in perfect condition, like never been worn. A woman's size 10 is a brand new pair of those 1970s butterfly inlay cowgirl boots.
Did you hear the angels sing?
Yes.
That the clouds had parted?
I couldn't believe it. And of course you had to play it cool. And I feel maybe.
Yes. It's like, oh, by the way, what do you want for that?
Yeah. And he said, $60. And at the time, that really was a lot for me. I said, would you take 35? And he said, yes. So I took them home, listed them. Do you remember what eBay Pulse was? I don't think it's still a thing. Is eBay
where
Pulse?
You can see what the hot sellers are?
Yeah. Like the
I don't think they have it anymore.
Okay. Well, back then, they were the number one watched item on eBay.
Oh.
My boots. And they sold for, started them at 99 cents, and they sold for $785 to a man in the Netherlands.
Oh, what a miracle. I mean, it's almost as if they were placed there specifically for you.
Yes. That was just, that'll always be my number one eBay story.
Thanks, Janessa. And I appreciate you allowing me to include that snippet in this podcast. Okay, there you have it. I really like this format. I hope you did. In fact, it might be fun to include these snippets all the time. Maybe you have a good story or a fantastic sale with a backstory, but don't want to commit to a full podcast. I'm on board with that. Maybe I could start adding a seller story section to the weekly podcast. These snippets were sent in using the voice memo app on smartphones. So a very easy way to contribute if you want to be part of the podcast, but can't commit to an hour-long Zoom call. I completely understand that. Time is everyone's most valuable resource. So if you like that idea, which just popped into my head, and want to participate, let me know. My contact information is below the podcast. And again, I want to thank the reselling community for listening and contributing to this podcast. Here's to another year of great content that helps you grow your business and ultimately make more money so that you can have a life that you love. Happy selling, everybody. I'll talk to you next week. Bye for now.